Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. For the past few weeks, I've been preaching through the last part of Romans chapter 7, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. And this is the fourth part of a series called The Believer's Inner Warfare. A Believer's Inner Warfare. This is part 4. This will conclude that series. And I'm going to begin today in Romans 7, verse 22. That's where I ended off last week. And Paul is talking about the inner struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And you can look at it this way. In every true believer, every child of God, in everyone who has been born of the Holy Spirit and within whom the Holy Spirit resides, there is an inner warfare, a conflict, a struggle between doing good and sin. And the doing good there has to be measured as God measures goodness, not as man by nature measures goodness. In other words, the goodness there has to be consistent with the perfection of the law of God. Now, when we say the law of God, we're not just talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about all that God requires. It's everything that equals the perfection of righteousness, which God requires, and which God provides for His people in the person and work of Christ. But in everyone, in every believer, there's a struggle. A struggle of conscience, a struggle of between the flesh and the spirit. And you can look at it this way. The Spirit gives spiritual life to believers so that we who by nature were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, now we have the Spirit of life. We have the Holy Spirit. We are spiritual people now. We have spirits. So the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. That's the Holy Spirit and our spirit in connection with the Holy Spirit. So you can look at it that way. The principle and the power of life within. But I wanted to make this point because someone may ask this question about, well, don't even unbelievers have struggles of conscience, struggles to do right and do wrong? Well, yes, they do. Even as an unbeliever, going through life, you'll have struggles of conscience. But they're not the warfare of the flesh and the spirit. The struggles of an unbeliever are only struggles of legal conscience. And that's all it is. Paul dealt with this over in Romans 2 where he talked about the Gentiles who have not the law of Moses that Israel had. It says this is Romans 2 and verse 14. He says, for when the Gentiles which have not the law, talking about the law of Moses there, he says, do by nature the things contained in the law. That is the law of conscience. These having not the law are a law unto themselves. They have a conscience. The Gentiles didn't have the two tables of stone that began with thou shalt not kill. But the Gentiles in their conscience, they knew it was wrong to kill, wrong to murder. They had laws. And so he says, verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. So, yes, unbelieving people have struggles of natural conscience conviction. But that struggle is different from the struggle that Paul is talking about here. The struggle that Paul's talking about here is the struggle of the spirit against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. And it is known because the desire, look at verse 22, he says in Romans 7, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, to delight in the law of God, the Bible says that when we're born again by the Spirit, that God actually writes his law on our hearts. The mind, the affection, the will, that's the heart. Now, you know it's not with a literal pen and ink and all of that. But he brings a sinner to delight in the law that by nature condemns him. How in the world could I delight in a law that shows me all the time that I'm a sinner and that I deserve death and hell, condemnation, that I am worthy of nothing but eternal damnation? How can I delight in such a law? Well, the only way that I can do it rightly is as the Spirit convicts me of my sin and, listen to it, here's the most important part, and drives me to Christ who kept the law in my stead. That's how. I delight in it as I see the perfection of the law fulfilled completely and perfectly for me, not by me, but for me in the glorious person and in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is my law keeper. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of the time that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Christ is my surety. My sins were charged to him. Before the foundation of the world, God set him up to be my surety and sent him into the world made under the law as God manifest in the flesh to keep that law perfectly and die under its penalty for my sins imputed to him. And in exchange, God gives me, imputes to me, charges me with his righteousness. And so we say, as Romans 10 and verse 4, Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment, the perfection of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So that's how I delight in the law of God, after the inward man, in my heart, in my spirit. But let's go back to Romans 7, 22 and 23. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the spiritual man. That's the spiritual part of me that looks to Christ. And he says, but I see another law in my members. Another powerful principle. Another nature, if you will. Again, don't take that too far. He says, another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now that's the flesh, what he's describing there. I have a powerful principle of grace and love and gratitude implanted, imparted in me by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel that causes me to look to Christ and rest in him and delight in the law after the inward man, that causes me and motivates me to be like him, to try to do right according to God's standard. But there's another powerful principle within me. There's another law in my members, the members being the physical body, and talking about the mind. And so he says, it wars against the law of my mind. It wars against what I know to do right. I know what to do. You know, you can use so many examples here. Just like losing our tempers, things like that. Or somebody does something wrong to us and we get angry and we want vengeance, you see. We know that's not right. The Bible teaches us vengeance belongs to God, not us. And yet we always have those thoughts and feelings, even believers, see. But where do we find our relief? Well, we delight in the law of God after the inward man. We look to Christ. We rest in Him. That doesn't excuse our sin. It does not promote sin. It does not cause us to give up and say, well, if that's the way I am, I'm just not even going to try. No. It's a warfare. That's what I'm saying. That's what this verse is saying. This is a warfare. If you're engaged in a warfare, you're fighting against something. And something is fighting against you. So, the fact of salvation by grace does not tell any sinner to give up. No, sir. You fight the fight of faith. You war against the flesh, and the flesh will war against you, and it's a conflict. It's a continual thing. It's an everyday thing. And somebody might say, well, when you describe it that way, being a believer just doesn't look like that much of a great life. Well, it's not a bed of roses, as the song says. It's not a rose garden. It's not an easy life. It's a warfare. And so Paul comes to this conclusion. Look at verse 24. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." What a statement. Wretched. Do you know that's what true believers are? We are all wretched people going through this life in a struggle, in a warfare. But as I said last week, what we have to realize is this. The victory is already won by Jesus Christ our Lord. If I go through this life in this struggle, and if I give in to the flesh, you say, well, you failed then. Well, I failed in that warfare, but the warfare still won. Christ won the warfare. If I go through this life and I struggle and I gain victory over the flesh and walk in the Spirit, let me tell you something. I'm still the same wretched man, still struggling, and Christ is my victory even then. And so look at what he says in verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, or this body of death? Now, he's talking about the physical body in which contains the mind, the affections, the will, the spirit, and the flesh. And the flesh is often connected with this physical body because this is the medium by which the flesh operates. And that's why Paul said in verse 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I can use my hands for various purposes. I can use my hands to slap somebody, and that's sin, that's the flesh. I can use my hands to open this Bible and read it. That's motivated by the Spirit. But this wretched body, this body of death, that's dying, and that's what it is, that's one of the consequences of sin. See, believers have to be delivered from this body of death and given a new body. 1 Corinthians 15 says we have to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And so we'll have a new body. I don't know much about that new body. We can study a lot in the Bible and it doesn't answer a lot of questions, but we know that it's a body that'll never die, never grow old. You won't see the wrinkles and the gray hair and all of that. And so we could talk about that in another message. But this body has got to die. And when this body dies, the flesh dies with it. All the sinfulness that resides within my mind dies with it. And so he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25 is the grand conclusion that shows us the total victory that believers have in Christ. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's what he's talking about. I cannot win this battle, but thank God it's already been won. Christ has already done it. And so what's the conclusion? Well, is the conclusion that we should come to this whole thing, this believer's inner warfare, which shows us that we cannot attain in this life, in this body, the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. Is the conclusion we should come to, well, let's just give up and go out and sin all that we want to and don't even worry about it? No. Listen to verse 25. Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. There's the conflict again. He says, with my mind, I have it in my mind, my purpose, my desire, my goal, to be like Christ. Again, to love as he loved, to obey as he obeyed, to sacrifice myself as he sacrificed himself in the sense of his love for his people. That's what I have in my mind. But I cannot fulfill that completely in this body of death because I'm a sinner saved by grace. So with the flesh, the law of sin. Realizing that I cannot attain perfection, attain righteousness, but knowing that in Christ I already am. Now that may sound confusing to some of you, but it's not. You know there's a difference between a believer standing before God in Christ and a believer's state in this world. Our standing before God in Christ is righteousness. We are righteous in Christ. We have attained the perfection of the law, not by our works, not by our efforts, but in Christ, by his obedience unto death. And God says it this way. He says, for all that Christ has done, we're perfect in him. He'll lay no sin to our charge. He charged, the Bible, in Romans chapter 4, quoting the prophet David out of the Psalms. Listen to this in verse 6, Romans 4, 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. God has imputed righteousness to me. That means he's charged it to me. He's laid it to my account. And he will not charge me with my sin. He charged my sins to Christ. And he's charged Christ's righteousness to me. How do I know that? Because he's brought me to believe in Christ and rest in him. So my standing before God in Christ is already completed, already attained. It cannot be contaminated. It cannot be taken away. It's firm. And therefore, look over at Romans 8. Now this is following up on chapter 7 and verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I cannot be condemned. I'm struck. Now, as to my state, that's my standing. And I'll go on to the rest of that verse. Just hold on. Now, as to my state here on earth, I'm a sinful man, a sinner saved by the grace of God, a spiritual man. Because I have the Holy Spirit who's given me life, a spirit, and a struggling man going through the inner warfare, the flesh and the spirit, not attaining the perfection of righteousness in anything I think, say, or do. I'm constantly plagued by the flesh. But that's my state. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And so I cannot be condemned. The evidence of that, look at verse 1 now of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what is it to walk after the flesh and to walk after the Spirit? Well, to walk after the flesh in Romans 8, what he's talking about, is an unregenerate unbeliever. One who's never been born again by the Spirit. They walk after the flesh. Now, they may be religious. I was religious before I was saved. They may have been baptized in the waters. They may have given their hearts to Jesus, as people say, under a false gospel. But they're walking after the flesh. They don't just have the flesh. They are the flesh, walking after the flesh. So what is it to walk after the Spirit? It's a sinner saved by grace, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. A believer, a struggling believer, one who's got an inner warfare that just plagues him or her all the time, but looking to, believing, resting in Christ for all righteousness, for all forgiveness, for all eternal life, and the assurance of glory. And look at verse 2 of chapter 8. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, what is it to be free from the law of sin and death? It means I'm not condemned. The law cannot condemn me for my sin. The law cannot charge me in the court of God's justice with my sin. Now, you may see me commit a sin, and you say, well, that man's a sinner, and you're right, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. The same law by which you condemn me cannot condemn me in God's court, because I'm free from the law. What does that mean? Does that mean I can go out and live as a lawbreaker? No, it means the law cannot condemn me, because I'm in Christ who was condemned for me. Look at verse 3. He says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. All right, that the law could not pronounce me righteous because it was weak in through my flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Christ had a fleshly body, but it wasn't sinful. But it was like ours. And he says, likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, or as a sacrifice for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. In his human body, Christ made an end of sin and condemned sin as it was imputed to him, the sins of his people, God's elect, and he condemned it in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, that is, in our stead, in our place, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, who's he talking about here? He's not talking about everybody without exception here. He's talking about believers. He's talking about God's chosen people given to Christ before the foundation of the world, for whom he was made surety, for whom he substituted himself in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for whom he died on the cross. You see, everyone for whom Christ died on that cross, he satisfied the justice of the law for them. And they will be saved. They will be born again by the Spirit under the preaching of the gospel. They will be given faith to believe. Faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They'll be brought to repentance, because God is not willing that any of them should perish, but that they should all come to repentance. And they will persevere in the faith. They will continue in this warfare by the grace of God, in the power of the Spirit, and be brought to final glory in Christ. And that's why Paul says back here, I thank God, verse 25 of Romans 7, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, what am I going to do? Well, the mind, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Serving the law of God. The only way we can serve the law of God aright is to look to Christ, who kept that law, who fulfilled that law, who is the end of that law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And that involves following Him, listening to Him in His Word, serving Him. The Bible in Romans chapter 6 calls it being a servant of righteousness. Look over at Romans 6 verse 17. He says here, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. That's an unbeliever now. Now, believers are still sinners, sinners saved by grace. But they're not slaves to sin in the sense that the unbeliever is. He says, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, what is it to be a servant of righteousness? Is to be a servant of Christ. And even though we struggle, even though we're involved in this inner warfare of the flesh and the spirit, even though we're carnal, sold under sin in that sense, but not condemned, free from the law, that's the whole issue because of Christ. Even though we serve Christ, we look to Christ, we preach Christ, we witness Christ. We let our light shine. That's the light of Christ. That's the gospel. So that men may see our good works and do what? Glorify God, which is in heaven, not glorify us. We're not trying to draw attention to ourselves. I'm trying to point you to Christ. Because He is the victory over the world, over the flesh, over the devil. And He's the only victory. He won that victory. And we know that because He died, He was buried, He arose from the dead the third day. He ascended unto glory, and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.